Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comic Podcast number 419. Tight-knit group tonight. We're going to really go in-depth on every book we read. Probably, I'm going to say 20 to 30 minutes per book, so we'll be out of here in about 40 minutes.
Not far off.
No. So I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are...
Pat.
Spencer.
Dave.
Harry and Marley.
It's a weird configuration.
Why?
I'm the first one.
Well, yeah, that's true. So, last week was a little thin as far as books. This week was much better. Next week is good.
Actually, I had more books last week than I do this week.
That's crazy, Pat.
I know.
Crazy, I said.
Craziness. 25% more books, actually.
So, not a lot of news that I saw. I made one fatal mistake. Don't get a phone that needs Face ID when you have to wear a mask.
Turn off Face ID.
But then I still have to put in the dumb password, and that's the problem, because now it's a six-digit password, and it's
No, it isn't. You can make it whatever you want.
Well, it's a six-digit password.
No, yours is a six-digit. It doesn't have to be. I have the same phone. Mine's a four-digit.
Fine, whatever. Kind of big news for me and for some customers, but I guess Bleeding Cool reported it, and a retailer asked Marvel on the forum, and the Marvel said yes. And the all those books that they canceled and were going to do digital only, they're printing.
Oh.
So I don't know if it's all of it, but a bunch of them they're actually going to print, which is cool. So I don't know the details. I haven't seen anything more about it. But we did have a question about it, so I'll go to the questions. One of the questions was that about that, and I was
okay.
I was going to I was going to reply to the tweet with a nose, but it might not be understood.
I remember the news thing that I was talking about.
Okay, well let's do the. Yeah, we only have two questions. Yeah. They're both from Zach. First one was, wow, DC really unloaded in the number of new releases today, didn't they? And what that is. 4 weeks ago was when they made the announcement they were no longer using Diamond on a Friday afternoon. And we had to place orders for FOC, for which would have been last week, that following Monday. Well, unfortunately, that news was also news to the new distributors, who suddenly had to create 2,000 new
accounts
from Friday afternoon to Monday. Well, my guess is their office people don't work the weekends, like neither do the DC people. So
not only that, you'd have to run credit checks for all.
Well, it's not so much credit checks, but we all had to give them our sales tax info.
Okay.
And so that they could sell it to us at wholesale.
Yeah.
So for, you know, our reseller license, basically. And gathering all that and verifying it, all of it, in over the course of a weekend, not real
probably
feasible for them.
Yeah.
They're
two office people, probably can't
right,
do
exactly.
2,000 accounts.
So that got kicked a week, so they just basically combined. That's what ended up is they just, instead of shifting things, everything just got doubled up. So that's why this week is double DC. Because, what, Pat?
Can't plan these things.
You cannot plan these things.
I don't get why they didn't just withhold, because this week we got Batman and we got Detective.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you hold one of them?
And Outsiders.
You're absolutely correct.
Like, why not hold one of those
correct.
Back? So
correct.
I guess they'll double ship, so next week we'll get one of them again?
No, because Detective's now monthly.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You can't plan these things. So that's the answer to that. And now, the second question, why do you think Marvel decided to print comics? They had said they were going to be digital only, after all. Do you think the digital sales were that poor that they'll make more money by printing them? So that's why I was going to send him a picture of a nose. Yes, Zach, I think that's probably the reason.
I don't think that is. I don't think there's any way they make more money by printing than doing digital. Because they've paid for the talent either way. So do they make enough to offset the printing cost? That's really
probably
the only place
because
where it's
let's say you had orders for 10,000,
yeah,
and digitally you sold 400. Those 400 digital sales.
Well, yeah, but in that case, what you're actually talking about is they're losing customers as opposed to
They didn't have 10,000 digital downloads, and their while they make more on digital, it's still not because they still have to give a cut to Comixology. There's still cuts involved. It's not flat. They make all the money.
Oh no, no, I didn't suggest that at all.
No, no, but I'm just saying. So,
I think there's also a lot of backlash about that happening, you know, they.
Disney
has a lot of problems right now, and I don't think they need to add to them.
It's a case of there's a lot of bad will towards DC right now.
Right, and now they and so the hero.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know what? We listened. You guys were really upset about this. We're going to print them for you.
Yeah, because I can.
You know,
see,
all
like,
of a sudden you're the hero where DC is. Where, oh, you can get it on Tuesday.
What? Pooping on Grandma's grave.
Yeah. So those were our two questions. That's all we had for questions. What was your news item, sir?
That I saw that Stargirl got renewed for a second season, but it also got moved to the CW. So
right.
It's not gonna. Like,
so there's. It looks like it definitely is looking like DC Universe is done.
Which I, you know, it seemed like 3 months into it that was going to be the case.
But first four issues or episodes of Doom Patrol are out. Oh, so good.
Well, I still haven't seen it.
So good.
So is the first season now on HBO Max?
I don't know.
If not, it's on DVD.
You know what? I had to do something. It might just be on my phone. Can I have the cord? My phone's almost dead. And like I wasn't seeing it on HBO Max, but or maybe it was Adam. He got it on Hulu, and that's how I have HBO. And it's not HBO.
It's not HBO Max.
It's
now,
HBO Max, but it didn't have the DC stuff. And I was able to then do it on my phone somehow. So I don't know exactly what's going on there.
That's odd.
But since I have the DC app, it doesn't matter. Because I can see them. But the Doom Patrol has been just... you're just watching it going, how did this get made? Okay. Because it's not that it's bad, but it's so out there.
Yeah.
And so I want to see the pitch meeting. Here's what we want to do. We basically want to televise Grant Morrison. And because the last episode. Oh, it's even hard to explain. The Sex Police were involved.
The Sex Police.
Because.
Dave, you can't watch this show.
I've had some run-ins with that.
I want to hear that story.
Flex Mentallo was making Elastigirl happy through his muscle movements because she was trying to get past a blockage in her memory that turns out it was seeing her mom have sex with like a movie executive to get her first role. But because of that, this guy came from Tibet and he had a periscope on his head, and if he gave birth to this baby and the baby cried, it would be the end of the universe, so the Sex Police had to stop that from happening and just all this stuff.
None of what you said just made sense.
No, he gave birth.
That old story.
He gave birth and then I think it was Crazy Jane pushed the baby back up inside to stop it from, and you're just watching this just going,
I don't think that's how that works.
How did this get made? Because in the sense of Doom Patrol, it made perfect sense. But as you're just watching it going, how did this get made? It was fascinating.
I'm no doctor, but I'm pretty sure that's not
how
that
works. I agree. But I also, how did that get cast? How do you cast that part?
We need someone that has to have a periscope on his head and give birth, but it's going to get rammed right back up there. What's your experience?
But I mean, it made sense in the story. But but just really so enjoyable, but so just out there. So that's all I have. I don't really remember any other news.
Craziness.
Yeah, just craziness on TV. That's very exciting. If you haven't seen Hamilton yet, see it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I understand the hype. I was a little surprised he got shot at the end. I didn't see that coming.
No,
I didn't see that
coming. So you don't remember the old Got Milk commercial, do you?
Which one?
Steve Buscemi.
Okay.
So he did a Got Milk commercial. This was back in the late 80s, early 90s, where he ate a peanut butter sandwich, and there was a radio contest where he won like $10,000 if you could name the man that shot Hamilton. It could be Aaron Burr, Aaron Burr. But because he didn't have milk, he lost.
Fair enough. No.
Sorry, Dave. I know I just gave it
away. I knew what happened. But,
oh, no.
But,
I don't remember that at all, that ad. Wow.
Steve Buscemi, yeah. Wow. It's probably on YouTube.
Wow, okay, I'm going to check that out.
So. Just trying to think of anything else. Jermaine and crew were back on a podcast I listened to. That was fun. They did a thing where they put each of them put in topics into a cup, and then they drew them to talk about. I thought that was a kind of a neat way to.
See, we could have done that.
Yeah, we could have. You're right. You're right.
Although maybe it's too soon. We're copying.
Oh no, I'll steal anything from them. So.
Okay.
Yeah. No, that's no problem. I have no problems
about that.
Was
it all comic stuff or was it anything?
No, it was everything. Wrestling. It was all sorts of stuff. Yeah. But it was like all of them put the exact same things into, which was like.
No, what you should do is have for like a week or maybe on a Wednesday, have all the customers write like a topic in,
okay,
and have them put it in. So like maybe that way it will, you know, the same topics won't keep on coming up or, you
know.
Yeah,
but you know some smart ass is going to put something in there like, you know, physics or something like that. None of us can answer questions.
Well, I mean,
that's why I always ask for comic questions.
They don't have to be comic related. I mean, pop culture related, I think, is a fair. That's fair game. You know, potentially movies and TV. I'm okay with most of that.
Okay, sorry. Just writing down my books that I read.
Huge list.
Yeah. Pat!
Yeah.
We'll start with you.
Well, I'm going to take both your books.
That's okay, because I can contribute to the discussion.
That is true. You can. So we'll start with The Boys.
I read that.
Yeah. Dear Becky. So, 8 pages of Huey talking to his dead parents.
That was killing me. Now, maybe because I was tired and reading it, but just him writing the accent was rough.
That's,
and I'm just like, where is this going? I love the last half of the book.
Right.
But that front, not a fan.
It's hard to get past. And like, even when he has him, like, talk to Butcher in the original series, they minimize the Scottish slang, but in this, it's
but
really.
But that miniseries was near unreadable because of that.
Okay.
The Wee Huey.
Okay. It was a rough go. But then they have kind of a flashback to the before Huey times in Becky's diary, which is being written by Billy Butcher. And they were going out, I forget the name of the team, but they were supposed to be anti-heroes.
Mm-hmm.
And it was
very sexual names from British tabloids is where they got the names, yeah.
Yeah, and it was, you know, it was a little out there, as most of it is. So the one thing I really disliked about the book, not the physical way that they printed the book, was you get to a page where Billy confronts a superhero, and then you turn the page, and there's an ad for a book on one side, and on the next page is an ad for The Boys number 3. Or not for the book, for Dear Becky number 3. So when you look at that, you go, that was it? That really wasn't an ending. So you flip back and you go, what the hell? Well, there was like 3 more pages left in the book, but the way they split it, it looked like there wasn't. So it was just an odd choice of where to put that ad. It has nothing to do with the story itself, but it was just odd. It doesn't have the same.
I still don't know where it's going.
Yeah.
I still don't, you know, we're
that I'm not worried about.
No, but we're a third of the way in, and I don't even have the basis of a plot, really.
I want to say it doesn't have the same charm, but charm is really not the right word to describe the Boys, but it doesn't have the same hook that the original Boys had to really get you involved in the story. You hear Annie talk to Huey from off screen, but we've yet to see her. Most of what's gone on has been just Huey talking to somebody for a quarter of the book or a third of the book.
I mean, this one was weird where he's talking to Annie through the bathroom door while he can keep reading. It's like, just weird.
He wants to be able to tell Annie, or he wants to be able to do what he does without, I guess, Annie finding out. The whole thing is, it's odd. It's, I don't know. It's not that it's a bad story. It's just not a good story. It's not as good as the original Boy series was. So it's a bit of a letdown.
And it also kind of seems like, just from what you guys talking about the past couple issues, is like, it doesn't kind of seem like there's a point to the story, or like, you know.
Well, no, I think that
why does this story need to be told?
Yeah, well, no, I can get that, because it's really, it's Billy basically going through his own therapy, writing in his wife's diary. I'm okay with all that. What I don't understand, who found this book, and how did it get in Huey's hands? We should have at least gotten a clue to this point as to what it is. Because I completely get it if, you know, my wife died and then, you know, I'm going out to seek revenge. Maybe I take her diary and I kind of write my thoughts in there. That I'm good with. You know, it's a form of therapy, and Billy is certainly portrayed as not the type of guy that's going to go see a shrink.
True.
So, you know, this is how he kind of gets through it. But, you know, none of the boys are left to have... Spoiler alert.
Right.
None of the boys are left to have sent it to him. If you've watched the series, it has nothing... Forget... It's
Well, the trailer did just drop. I was trying to watch it here, but I couldn't.
That's two different animals. It's similar to how the Walking Dead comic and the Walking Dead TV show diverged after the first season. That's what the boys did, except for it did on its last episode, severely diverged from what the comic did. In a very important way. So that was that. Billionaire Island.
I read that. I'll read let that Dave too. Go more into that one.
Oh, okay.
It's Dave's deal. Our resident ahoy guy.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to say I didn't like it. But it suffered because it's been so long between the two.
Yeah, that was my problem right at the beginning. I'm like, who is this guy that's on the airplane? I'm lost. Yeah. I'm totally lost.
Because I really remember liking the first issue a whole lot.
Really? That's where you're going to lay, Marlon.
But with that lag, it was a little bit harder. And, you know, the main character... He's on a plane to go to Billionaire Island. We find out a little bit more about the island, that apparently, like, the security fires bullets at people, but the bullets turn to dust if they have $1 billion. They have some kind of chip implanted. I totally forgotten about the reporter, and I guess it's our camera guy or whatever, who are locked away with the three, I don't even know what they are.
Right, they were there before.
Right, they were, you know, but they just worship whatever this other guy does.
The guy who's going to the island has taken the identity of the billionaire assassinated.
Right. Yeah.
Because when he was there, he just happened to see the message for Billionaire Island.
Yeah, right.
Or I don't think he would have known otherwise.
Right,
like,
I forgot about that, yeah.
And you have the billionaire Texan who sits next to him on a plane, because you gotta have a billionaire Texan.
But I did like the way how he made his money. It was just in an app.
Yeah. Yeah, an app that just fires middle managers. That's, you know, it's... Oh,
that was very Mark Russell.
Mark Russell.
The first page was great with the alien versus predator.
Yes, yes, yes. With Rob Van or Steven Seagal.
Yeah.
And Louis C.K. Yeah, that was fantastic.
Yeah.
Did anybody read the two pro stories in the back?
No.
I didn't know.
I read the first one. I didn't get around to reading the second one.
I know I should read them. I don't. I'm a little mad at Ahoy anyway because Captain Ginger.
Yeah.
Now, if they want to be the hero that we deserve, print Captain Ginger. At least, you know, if after this story arc you want to go to the trade only, I'm fine with that, but now I got to buy a trade because I'm really interested to read the story, but I already got the first two issues. So. And the last one I'll talk about is Walking Dead Negan Lives.
I heard that too.
So I thought it was an okay book, but it was just okay. I don't know. It just, forget about the TV show, but in the book, he's built up in just a way like you expect more out of it. He comes home and there's a very attractive young woman that's there, and her name is Lucy, and of course his wife's name and his bat's name was Lucille. So he's sitting there and he's cooking on the fire and he's talking to her, and Negan is probably the smartest character they've written in The Walking Dead, and he knows immediately it's a trap. I mean, straight up Admiral Akbar, it's a trap.
Yeah.
So he's so after he's done eating, he's like, okay, so where are they? And she's like, well, what are you talking about? He's like, I'm not stupid. I know they're here. They're coming to kill me. Come on. So we're two boyfriends, or a boyfriend and a friend, or whatever the dynamic of those two come in, and they attack Negan. He of course gets the better hand and cuts one in half with a shovel.
Yeah,
in a very Negan-esque way.
Yeah, then just like a horde of zombies kind of come out of nowhere.
Yeah, that was really what saved Negan was the horde of zombies. And then at the end, so he's gonna go off and do something. I forget.
He's gonna go and try to see if he can find his wife.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
and then like put her down, and the chick's gonna go with him.
Yeah.
See, now, like, if this was, like, again, like, it's almost kind of like that Batman Killer Smile thing. Like, if this was issue one of, like, a Negan miniseries.
Yes.
But to just then, like, because that'd be kind of cool to see him, like, trying to hunt down,
Yeah.
Even though that he's never going to, there's no way he'd ever find her, but I think there's, like, an interesting story there you could tell,
Yeah, well, and the other thing is, so the way that the actual main series ended was years in the future. This didn't happen then, because this is, like,
he's still
normal Negan.
Yeah, like same age and everything,
Where, if Carl's 13 or whatever, whatever age Negan is, he's probably only a couple years away from that.
Yeah.
As opposed to when Carl's probably in his late 20s, early 30s at the end of the series. So, there's obviously room in there to tell a story. But what I was hoping was this would have shown what he was up to at that point.
Oh, like him at the end, kinda.
Because Carl specifically makes a point to go see him.
Yeah.
And he wasn't home, or he wasn't answering, whatever.
I think if I remember correctly, it seemed like he would never, he would just kind of like knock, leave food, wait a minute, see, and then I don't think he ever would,
Yeah. I'd prefer to have seen that.
Yeah.
As opposed to, I know what he's like because, we read the story with him for, essentially 145 issues or something. Like, I forget when it ended. And they're like, what, 145 or...
193.
Okay, so, we were with him for 93 issues. Yeah. And, I know what that Negan is. I want to see old Negan.
Yeah.
Is he...
Old man Negan.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, this is like the, he came in and was like, oh, I'm done. Walking Dead. Nothing. Never again. No more. And then this. So then he's like, at the end of the letter on this one, he's like, probably done. Probably.
Yeah.
Maybe. Probably.
Well, they need more money.
Local comic shop day.
Yeah.
That story. And that story, I was not a huge fan of.
Well, that wasn't even him. That was Brian K. Vaughan.
True.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I like, if you're gonna end it, that's I was fine where he ended it. I thought that that was a really good ending to the story for, you know, what is essentially, there's only two characters left that you start off with.
Yeah.
Well, no, there's more. Well, no, because Michonne came later, too.
Yeah. Is it Carl?
Well, it's Carl and Sophia are the only two.
And, isn't, what's her name? The,
Maggie. But Maggie. That's, yeah, but she even came later.
Yeah. Well, Sophie came later, too. Well, you know, not the...
Well, she was part of that first group. With Carol.
Oh, yeah, I guess, I keep on forgetting she was because the Because remember, the whole first
book was just Rick.
Yeah.
And then Morgan and his son. But, you know, really, once Rick is reunited, that was the group. It wasn't bad. It just...
And it wouldn't you... Wanted me... Wanted more. Like, you know what I mean?
It did. It left me wanting more... But when things like that happen, it just makes me, screw you, I'm not going to buy it.
Yeah.
You know, because it wasn't like it left me wanting more when I know there's more
coming. Yeah, yeah.
You know, this is, I'm going to tell a one-shot story that really doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
It felt like a money grab, and you know, Kirkman has...
Hey, he was trying to help the stores.
And that's fine too, but he could have just told a self-contained story.
Yeah,
don't start something you can't finish.
Right,
Kirkman. That's what I read.
I read the plot.
That had taken a long time.
Well, two, and then two. I think again, you know, with like everything else, it got caught up in the delays of everything. But I think it was issue 5, I think. This is kind of like a flashback issue of kind of like of that same family, but during like the pilgrim times, and like you know, like the village was having trouble with food, with growing food and stuff like that, and the one leader, he kept on hearing like this voice, and it was coming from this like swamp lake area, and it just says that it kept on I forget the exact phrase, but it's basically like to get, you have to sacrifice. So like he ended up sacrificing, I think it was his daughter's like boyfriend to this creature in there, and then came like the next spring and stuff, like they were finally like they were getting crops growing and stuff like that, and it just like so it was basically just dealing with that story, then flash to the present with the brother and the kids that he adopted whenever his brother and wife died earlier in the series and stuff, looking by this monster. So it seems like this thing is a long history with their family, but I guess it was a good issue to come back on, because like I said, it was kind of like a flashback to every stuff that happened before all this, so it wasn't like a lot of like trying to remember what's happening with everything finally coming back now. And then the last thing I read was the Nailbiter Returns number 2. Last issue ends with the detective showing the daughter that that Warren is still, the nail biter is in, he has him in this cave, you know, in this cell in the basement of his house, like this high security cell. And so he tells her that the, because she thinks that her mom is missing, so she thinks Warren, the nail biter, you know, obviously has something to do with it. And so he shows her, like, no, he has nothing to do, because he's been in here for, like, I think, like, 6 months, a year, something like that. Because he doesn't want to, even with, like, all the evidence, he doesn't want him to, you know, turn him in, because last time he was able to rig the system and, you know, able to walk and stuff. And then so Tana tells that story of, like, you know, just like the days passing and Warren, you know, kind of, you know, eating, exercising, slowly kind of going insane a little bit from just, you know, not really talking to anybody and, you know, and stuff like that. He doesn't have anything to do with that. And then the other part of the story is that, you know, all these new butchers, killers are coming back. So they're like so I don't know if it's like the kids or like next generation of, you know, people are taking up the mantle of these killers. But then somebody's also going around killing the new so like that's kind of like the big mystery. But and then so two of them end up kidnapping the daughter and is driving away and tell her if she helps them get away, they would be able to take her to her own mother. So that's kind of how the issue ends, is them driving off with her in the car and stuff like that. But that's it.
I read.
We're gonna be out of here by 8. No, it's after 8. Okay.
Yeah, it's after 8.
I read Firepower.
Okay. It was in the stack, I just didn't get it.
The new series from Robert Kirkman and Chris Samnee, which...
So what was it? They did the prelude...
This was how it was supposed to come out. The prelude trade was supposed to come out on Wednesday, Free Comic Book Day on Saturday, issue 1 on following Wednesday. So the trade was just the prelude, the story of before.
Okay.
So are you talking about the Free Comic Day book or the graphic novel?
The graphic novel right now. I really enjoyed this. I was kind of caught off guard how much I enjoyed this. It's about a kid named Owen Johnson, and he's traveling through China trying to find this order of warriors they're trying to rediscover the firepower, creating fireballs in their hands. And he finally finds them in the master Wei Lun, who takes him in, and you know he's the Yoda of the group, and he's also Owen's also trying to find his parents, and throughout the story you find out they have some connection to a group called the Scorched Earth Clan, who want to destroy the world by releasing a dragon that this order, the Flaming Fist, apparently had. You don't see the dragon, but apparently they have one locked up somewhere. And then the end of the trade paperback and the Free Comic Book Day issue, it then flashes ahead 15 years.
Okay.
Where Owen, he's left the order and he's like a suburban dad now.
Okay.
Selling used furniture.
Hate it when that happens.
And then one night, one of his old colleagues, one of the warriors, comes back to get him. And he in the trade paperback, they clash heads a lot. And he tells Owen that he has to come back to China because the Master Wei Lun has disappeared. And they need his guidance, and they don't know what's going on. So it was really good. I mean, it was really good. It could go in a lot of different directions. I didn't think it'd be that engaging, but as engaging as it was. But man, in the trade paperback's only $10. It was
such a bargain. Yeah, I blew through. I got in 10, thinking, oh, there'll be some buzz with Free Comic Book Day and stuff.
But yeah,
and then I'm like, when I saw it on my invoice, I'm like, oh crap.
No, is the Free Comic Book issue not in the trade?
No.
It's not?
Right, correct. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to the first issue whenever that comes out. And the other one I read, Red Sonja, number 16.
Okay.
Also a Mark Russell book. This is continuing the story. Sonja's now the master of war for King Jokan. And when she's in charge of the armies. And in this issue, she gets their first mission. The king tells her that he wants to conquer and annex the bordering mountains of the night. But this is kind of, Sonya says, this is kind of like low-hanging fruit. This is like an easy thing to do because the land has no strategic value, but the king just wants to have a show of power. But Sonya tells him that, you know, her army's not ready. So he shows them his army, which is basically a group of 12-year-old kids. So the whole issue is about these moral dilemmas, the cost of war. It's not heavy-handed at all. Mark Russell does a really good job at this. There's also a part where in the festival of Idra, when there's a story about how a former king's daughter was killed and she's kept inside like a cow made out of wood, and they parade the cow around like once a year so all the people can mourn, and it's kind of how the king keeps the people in line. So this is a really good story too, and good thing to read if you like. If you haven't read Red Sonja before, this is a good series to get engaged in. And that's all I got.
Okay. Well, it was a really light week of books last week. So not a ton to talk about. And I said I need to pay closer attention to news, but I really don't.
I don't think there was really anything.
No, not much is going on since, you know, there's no conventions, there's no big announcements type of things. So, sorry that we're a little thin. Next week this was a big week of books, except for Pat, who didn't get much. But that's okay. He got 25% more last week.
Yeah, that's right.
Craziness. So.
But I got Batman. And Batman.
Did you get Batman?
I did.
Okay. Yeah, I just want to check to make sure we didn't get any more questions before we wrap up.
That's craziness. We gotta check for questions twice.
Just checking. Double checking.
I got Batman. Hello? Batman and Deceased, which is probably a little bit of Batman in there too.
No.
Deceased Planet?
Well, no, there was a little Batman, but Damian Batman.
Damian Batman's a different kind of Batman.
It is. It was very funny. I enjoyed it. Gosh, I guess that's about it. You want to keep up on what's going on? Pittsburgh Comics is the website. Facebook is Pittsburgh Comics.
Yeah, I know. He just rolled right into it. You let me get out my line. Damn.
Well, wait. Actually, hang on. And Twitter and Instagram, RPGH Comics. So, Pat.
So, what's coming out next week, Colin?
Okay, we got stuff. We have the book of the year, 2020, iWolverine number one. If you remember back in the 90s, there was a robot Wolverine named Albert.
No.
Yeah. And there was a little girl named LCD that he protected. Well, they're back during, this is the whole Iron Man thing. So since it's a robot.
Then I will not get it.
We got Amazing Spider-Man 44, so we're back on track there. I don't know what this one is or even who's putting it out, but it's called Attractive Cousins. Hmm. So, not sure what that is or who that's for.
Sounds like a boundless book.
Avengers 34, continuing the Moon Knight story. We have Betty Page number one. With 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 covers.
How many of them are nudes?
One. Only one, but it's a black bag cover. We have, I don't know what this one is, Dose, as in like Dose of Medicine, number one, with three different covers. I don't know what that one is either. Ordered in March. Well, that was like last year, right?
That was a pandemic and like some murder horn. It's a good
I ordered that pre-pandemic. Empire finally is hitting. It's going to be a weekly, but it starts next week. Engine Ward is a new one from Vault. That's coming out next week too. Fantastic 421 is an Empire tie-in to go along with the Empire Fantastic 40 that came out today. First batch of Free Comic Book Day books are shipping next week, so I cut my orders way back on them just because I don't even know how to do this. So, but the first little batch of those is coming along with the X-Men number one book. I did get a bunch of those, so Giant Size X-Men Magneto, those have been selling really, really well. Too well that I'm out and can't get them back in. But the Magneto one's coming out. Nothing on this page. Sacred Six is a new one. I believe this is Christopher Priest playing with some of the women from the Dynamite universe. Vampirella, Panther, Draculina, doing something with those. But just interesting that it's Priest. Snake Eyes Dead Game. This is a new one about Snake Eyes by Rob Liefeld, who's writing and drawing this, I believe. Spider-Woman 2. That seems like that came out a year ago.
Actually, that came out the last week before the pandemic.
No, it came out... Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was like the last time the regular Easter...
That's true, yeah, because I still have all those variants on the board, on the wall. Star Trek DS9, Too Long a Sacrifice for all the Star Trek fans. Transformers 84, Secrets and Lies. This is picking up from the original miniseries, I believe. And that's it. I mean, still a ton of stuff.
You got a whole different...
Oh, that's right. I forgot. What was there another publisher that puts out books?
Yeah.
DC is shipping. We get Catwoman 23. This is the start of a two-parter by Sean Gordon Murphy. Just, I think, kind of so as not to step toes on what's going on in Joker War. But Catwoman...
Is it the Catwoman from the regular...
Yeah, it's regular Catwoman, but like just an old story or something.
I also thought it was like Catwoman, but it was from his like...
No,
his
that would be neat. No.
That would have been awesome.
We get Dark Knight's Death Metal 2 is coming out next week. And Joker Harley Criminal Sanity Secret Files is coming out next week. Also, sadly, the last issue of Jimmy Olsen is next week, too.
Oh.
I know. So, now are you happy?
I like how DC's, like, order form just looks like you, like a kid.
Yeah.
Well, here's an interesting thing.
Non-business, so, like, at all.
This is, I'm getting my first shipment from Lunar, and they won't send us an invoice until it ships, so that they can then add the shipping onto it. So basically, this was just, I was able to download the file of what was coming as a CSV, so I just, and then I just copied and printed, pasted to Notepad.
Yeah.
So I don't have an actual invoice of it, so...
There's not much shipping next week from them.
No.
That's a very light week.
Well, remember, this week was a double, so this is probably more normal.
Right, so again...
But no, you'd also
like
don't,
you
you'd never saw it broken down like this before, either. It was just always throughout the invoice, so you didn't realize exactly what was coming. But yeah, why couldn't we have gotten Detective next week?
First off, that font is twice the size of the font on the other stuff.
True.
And it's half a page.
Yeah.
Where the other one is normally seven pages.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Yeah, why they could have spaced it out a little bit better, especially giving us Detective, unless because that was the Joker War tie-in, and they needed to ship the same before Bat. I don't know.
There's no Detective War.
Maybe Nightwing. Nightwing.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Nightwing is tying in.
Yeah. But we could. Why not Batman's Grave next week? Why not that animated one? No, I get it. But again, Pat
can't plan anything.
That's correct. So, Spencer.
That's the podcast.
We will talk at you next week. See ya.